You are listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website at harvestgranger.org.
It is my honor to be here, and I'm really excited about being able to bring God's word this morning to you. Trent called me last week and asked if I wanted to. And, asking a preacher to preach on Sunday is like asking a kid if he wants candy. You know, of course, yes. Love to do it and look forward to the opportunity. So if you have your Bibles, we're not going to go to Matthew. Go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. You guys have been going through a series called Unearthed. Trent started about 2 weeks ago as you're walking through Matthew 13 through 17. I'm not going to do the next section. I'm going to talk a little bit about the unearthed life out of Colossians chapter 3. Now, just for review, because maybe you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, or maybe on accident you slept through last week, I want us to talk about what this word means, unearthed. Well, what does it mean when we say that we are unearthed? Because I don't want us to continue talking about it. And me saying it for the next 30, 40 minutes, I'm going to talk here. And you say, what is he talking about, unearthed? I text Trent last week and said, Trent, in a one-sentence definition, tell me what it means to be unearthed. Okay, we know if you look it up in the dictionary, it's going to be uprooted, you know, the physical realm of unearthed. But we're talking about in the spiritual realm, as we are, as believers, unearthed, what are we saying? What do we mean by that? And so Trent gave me his, one-sentence definition. I'll give you here in a second. But what I want to do is I want us to do a little exercise, okay? And yes, you got to think a little bit in church today. And so I want everybody to stand for a second. I know you've been sitting all day. You guys get your exercise out. So I want you, in a second, I'm going to have you turn to somebody, and I want you to tell them what it means to be unearthed. Okay, if you are clueless because you haven't been here and it doesn't make any sense, you say, I have no idea, okay? Well, maybe if you know, then you can tell them. If not, but ask someone, okay, what does it mean as a Christian, what does it mean that we are unearthed, okay? If you don't know, make up something. I'm sure it'd be great. Okay, so turn to someone and tell them, what does it mean to be unearthed? Okay, now that everybody knows what it means, you can have a seat. Now, how many know now, at least you believe you know what it means to be unearthed? Raise your hand. Okay, about 20 of you. Good. Great teachers you guys are. Well, I asked Trey, and I also did this. I texted Micah, too. And I said, Micah, what does it mean to be unearthed? And I got a definition from Mike and a definition from Trent. I'm going to give you both of them, and I want you to tell me which one you think is Trent's and which one you think is Micah's. Okay? So I'll give you the two definitions of what it means to be unearthed. One said this, kingdom living, uprooted, and revealed. Okay? Here's the second definition, to break free of the gravitational pull of the kingdoms of this world and to live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, how many think the first one was Trent's? Okay, about five. How many think the second one was Trent's? Wow. Trent, they nailed you on this one. I'll tell you, the first service, it's because there's more words, right? You know a preacher has to have a little more words there. The first service, they couldn't figure it out. It was about half and half. But you guys are right on. Well, since Trent's the preacher, I'll give him. They're both great definitions. Okay, kingdom living, uprooted, and revealed, or to break free of the gravitational pull, the kingdoms of this world, and to live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Unearthed is simply someone who's choosing to live for the kingdom of God. It's someone who's saying no to this world's kingdom and saying yes to God's kingdom. It is someone who realizes that they don't belong to this earth anymore. They have been unearthed. They have been uprooted. And now they belong to a greater kingdom. And so until they get there, they're going to still live for that kingdom. They know that they're just a sojourner. They're just passing through this life right now. And someday they're going to be with Christ in that kingdom. But until that happens, we're still going to look towards that kingdom and we're still going to live for that kingdom. That's what it means to be unearthed. Now, the question I want to nail today, though, is what does that life look like? What does it look like as a life that lives for that kingdom and not for this kingdom? What does that look like in the day-to-day process? You know, we can say it, and maybe you sit here this morning and you say, yes, I am unearthed. I've been saved, and yes, I want to live for that, but what does that really look like? I believe if I could text the Apostle Paul and ask him in a text, Paul, what does it mean to live an unearthed life? I think he'd text back Colossians 3, 1 through 4. So let's look at these verses here together. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let me give you a little background as what is taking place before we dive into these verses. Here, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church here that was starting to believe what we would call today Gnosticism, which is that God is good and matter is evil. So because Jesus Christ came in the flesh, they denied the deity of Christ. And they put a big emphasis on traditions and on feasting and just religious festivals. It was more in what you do for God, not on what God did for you and what Christ did for you. So Paul writes this letter and basically rips their belief out of the water. He magnifies Christ. He shows them that Christ is God. He shows them that we should worship Christ as our creator, as the head of the church, and as supreme over all. He puts Christ where Christ should be, and that is preeminent, as it says in chapter 1. So Paul shows it is about Christ in these first couple chapters and gives a lot of doctrine about it. And then in chapter 3 here, he gets very practical and gives some application. And it says here again, if you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth, because you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also shall appear with him in glory. Here's the statement that I want to put down as our foundation for the first part of this verse today. I want us to kind of the thesis, I guess, of what it would be or what we really want to talk about today would go off of this sentence right here. And that is the unearthed life is sustained by the unearthed Savior. The unearthed life is sustained by the unearthed Savior. I believe you could take the word unearthed and put it there in verse 3. If you have been unearthed with Christ, raised with Christ. I believe you could take the word raised and take out the words unearthed there and say the risen life is sustained by the risen Savior. When we talk about someone who is unearthed, it's because they are no longer dead in their trespasses and sins, but now they have been risen with Christ. And that's what this unearthed life is all about. That is what Christ is talking about. And so the unearthed life, which is all about Christ, is sustained. And I believe if we had time to study through chapters 1 and 2, that we could make a great point that Christ sustains everything. You see that in chapter 1, verse 17, says he holds all things together. So the unearthed life or the risen life is sustained by the risen of the unearthed Savior. Even here in verse 1, we says we've been raised with Christ. We are co-resurrected with Christ. Now let me make sure we understand something before we jump into this passage. For some of you, these verses aren't going to quite make sense. And that's probably because you're still earthed. I know looking at a crowd like this, there are some of you here that you're still earthed. You have not surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. As Ephesians 2 says, you are still dead in your trespasses and sins. And listen, there's great news. Because God in his mercy sent his only son, Jesus Christ, into this world to rescue us dead sinners. He took our punishment, he died on the cross, he rose from the grave, and now he is risen. And this is the gospel, it is the free gift that God offers here today for you. You don't have to walk out those doors earthed today. You can walk out a true believer in Jesus Christ and start to live the life of a believer who is unearthed. Today can be the day of your salvation. Now, for you who sit here and say, Jeremiah, I know I'm saved. And yes, I'm unearthed. I'm starting to understand what you mean when you say unearthed, living for the kingdom of heaven and not for this kingdom. But what does that look like? Well, what does that look like today? Well, I believe the Apostle Paul gives us three things here. And he starts it by saying, if, or maybe a better even translation of this, since you have been raised with Christ, I want you to know these three things. And so here's the first one, that the unearthed life is orbiting around Christ. So focus. The unearthed life is orbiting around Christ. So focus. It says, seek things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. Our life is sustained by Christ. And as Christ is the center, our life orbits around him. And so he says, there in the heavens, that's where Christ is. So set and seek or think. Think or seek on things that are above. Where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at the first one. It says there to seek things which are above. The word seek, there's a continual action. It means Paul is saying this isn't a one-time act. You continue to seek things which are above. Now please understand, this is very important. I'm not seeking so I can possess something that I don't already have. I'm seeking to be what God has now made me to be. I'm not seeking so that I gain some type of favor with God. That's how I find a lot of Christians live in that way. They feel like they got to seek things above because then God's going to be more happy with them and then he's going to love them more. That's not what we're talking about here. You are seeking the things above because you're going to live one day in eternity. You're going to live in the kingdoms of heaven someday. And so why we're kind of in this middle ground, we're not part of this world anymore, but we're not quite there yet. So I don't want to live for this world. I'm going to live for that world because that's who I am. So the Bible says, seek things which are above. Seek after them. So Jeremiah, what are these things I'm supposed to seek after? Well, we'll get there in just a second. Look at verse 2. It says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things on this earth. Not only are we to seek things which are above, but I'm to set my mind on things that are above. Not only am I action supposed to be after Christ and my action supposed to be after things above, but the very core of my thoughts are to be after things above. It means that the habit of my mind is on things above. If you were to adopt a child from Mexico, and he came and started to live with you, and he spoke Spanish, and then, you know, as a while he learned how to speak English, he would still think Spanish. You know, when he saw something, he'd still think of it in Spanish. But as time went on and spent more time with family and friends who spoke English, he would begin not only to speak English, but he would begin to think English. You know, the same as believers. You know, when you got saved, you became, okay, my actions, God, I want my actions to be about you. But, you know, there were still a lot of things in us that we used to do that were wrong. And so not only are our actions supposed to be about Christ, God says, listen, let the very thought, let your very core, let the habit of your mind be about Christ. Be about things that are above. And that's the sanctification life that we're in as we're making the very self of who we are say it's all about him. And so that's why I said the unearthed life is orbiting around Christ. So focus. Focus on him. Now, when we are talking about these things above, I believe what he's talking about is the heavenly realm. So the question would be is what matters in the heavenly realm? If we are supposed to seek these things, what matters in the heavenly realm? And I believe we could make a long list today of stuff that matters in the heavenly realm, because that's what we're supposed to live for. That's what we're supposed to seek after. The things that are up there, the things that matter to Christ, the things that matter in the heavenly realm. And there are a couple that just came to my mind as I started to think through that, of what matters in the heavenly realm. You know, one that came to mind was serving. You find that all through the book, all through the New Testament. That matters to Christ and matters there. So instead of living for this life, one of the things I need to seek after is to serve. Another one would just be giving. You guys studied through the book of Matthew. You've seen that in Matthew 6. Don't lay it for yourself treasures on earth, but lay it for yourself treasures in heaven. Again, it matters to the heavenly realm. What I do with my money. So I want to make sure I'm giving. How about loving? Loving someone, that not only does it involve my actions, but that involves what I think. Christ has called us to love our neighbor. So that's something that matters to the heavenly realm. So let us seek after that. Let us set our mind on that. And a simple one we can set our mind on is Christ, which is right here, because that's where Christ is. So we set our mind on these things. We seek after these things. So Jeremiah, I see that, but why don't I? You know what? You know, you say an unearthed life is orbiting around Christ. Why does it seem like my life is not orbiting around Christ? You say that an unearthed life is sustained by an unearthed Savior. Why does it seem like he's not really sustaining me? Well, I believe in this passage here, we see there are two options. It's either you're living for that kingdom, heaven, or are you going to live for this world? What things of this world gets our focus? Because you're either going to live for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of this world. So what gets our focus here on this earth that pulls us away from seeking and setting our mind on things above? Think about it for a second. Maybe write down just a couple on your piece of paper. Or if you're too proud to do that, just do it in your mind, okay? But just a couple things. What is it in your life that makes you get your eyes off this world? I mean, off heaven and onto this world? What is it that pulls you back down? I was making that list myself and just kind of writing down some things. It didn't take me too long. I could think of some. I'll tell you one thing that came down was just the whole area of money. Money can make you keep your eyes on this world and not on heaven. Trent told you that we're going here in a couple, Tuesday we leave to go to Pittsburgh to plant a church. My wife and four kids, one on the way. And really, how this all works is really by May, I have to have a core group that is big enough to be able to support my family. We're having a baby in June, and so all that has to happen pretty much by May. So that means I have like 3 months to get out there and to build a core group that's big enough to support my family. Now, if I were to walk down Wall Street and ask someone, hey, you think this is a smart idea? I'm going to take myself, my wife, four kids, my wife's pregnant. We're going to move to Pittsburgh. We've been there about 48 hours total. We've met a couple people there. And we're going to move there and try to plant a church. And by May, in 3 months, they got to be able to support my family so we can continue to live. What do you think about that? Listen, if my eyes are on things of this world, I'll never go. And the battle that I struggle with now is, okay, God, I know I don't want my eyes here. I want my eyes up on heaven. And you've told me to go, and you've told me that the righteous will not go without bread. And God, you're going to take care of me because you've told me what to do. And so it's keeping our eyes up there. And so it's a battle in my life. How about another one? How about comfort? It's an easy one for us to get our eyes here on this earth. It's comfortable for me to stay right here. My family's here. My wife's family's here. I don't like to drive on snow at all. Okay? I just don't like to drive on snow. And I really don't like to drive on hills where there's snow and ice. I hate it. And guess where God's moving me to? Pittsburgh! And all it is full of hills. I remember we flew in the first time, and I just looked down. And yes, they were beautiful, but the first thing that goes to my mind is, I gotta drive on that someday. And like 2-3 months out of the year, there's gonna be snow and there's gonna be ice on that. And I hate that. I'm thinking about just doing satellite from my house for those 3 months, the church, and just have everybody watch so I don't even have to drive. No, I can't do that. I don't like that. So in my mind, if I'm thinking about comfort, then I'm not going. If I'm putting my eyes on this world, then I'm going to sit there and say, forget this. But if I put my eyes where God says, Jeremiah, this life is short. It is all about me and seek things which are above. I realize that God says, listen, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. I've called you to go. Seek things which are above, not things on this earth. How about your health? It's easy for us to worry about our health so much. Man, I don't know if this sickness, I have this sickness, is it going to lead to death? Or what if I catch this sickness? Or what if I have this? And man, I got to make sure I do this. Listen, when your eyes are on things above, you realize that God says you can't add a day to your life. Why worry? Why worry? God knows every person here how many days you're going to live. But see, when our eyes are on this world, then we get wrapped up in that. But our eyes are upon Jesus and our eyes are on things above. We realize, man, this world is just passing through and I'm going to spend eternity with heaven in a glorified body and I'll never be sick again. I'll never have to worry about any infirmities again. And my eyes are upon him. How about people? It's easy for us to say, you know, if I had this person, if I got this mate or this child or this, then man, this is what life is about. And we focus so much on this. And God says, listen, just look up here. Focus on things that are above. How about your job? It's easy to get our eyes. I mean, we work 8-10 hours a day and our eyes get fixed right there on our job, which isn't a bad thing. But if you focus so much on your job, you forget about things which are above. And say, listen, it's about him. It's about the things that are above. And that's what I need to seek after. And so what are you focusing on today? What is it that God finds you focusing on? When I was in junior high, my dad taught me how to juggle. I got a couple balls here today. And I'm not some expert juggler. But my dad taught me how to juggle a little. And someone asked me a couple years ago, said, Jeremiah, when you juggle, where do you keep your focus? And I, you know, kind of done it for like 10 years. And I was like, I don't know. And I thought about it, I guess. And where do you think you focus on when you juggle? When I first thought that question, I was like, well, I guess I focus on my hands, right? But that's not what you focus on when you juggle. You focus on the highest point. If you focus on your hands, you're gonna drop the ball. If you focus on just one of the balls, you're gonna drop the other two. And so when you juggle, you focus on the highest point of that goes. Thank you. I do weddings and I do birthdays. So the question is, what are you focusing on? Listen, it's not bad to do these things. It's not bad to have a job. It's not bad to want to be comfortable, to have money. Listen, I want to make my wife comfortable. She's sitting there in the back. She may not believe that because after the 9 years that we've traveled so much. But I want to make her comfortable. But if my eyes were just fixed on wanting to make my wife comfortable, then I'd probably never move to Pittsburgh. I mean, I'm taking her from her family. I'm taking her from her friends. I'm taking her from what she knows. And I'm putting her in a place where she knows nobody. She's only spent 24 hours there and met a couple people. But see, if I'm focusing on what is above, then I realize that God's going to take care of the rest. If I'm focusing and I'm setting my eyes on things above. Work, it's not a bad thing. You need to work. But are you focusing on that? Are you going to focus on things that are above? Practically, you're a mom. You're raising 2, 4, 6, you know, wild kids. Where's your focus? If it's on things of this earth, then you're probably going to get angry, get selfish. You're going to wonder if this even really matters. If your focus is on heaven, if your focus is on things above, then you will show love, then you will show patience, then you're realizing that right now you are molding a heart to seek after God. Where's your focus? You're an employee or employer, and the people you work with are lost. What are you focused on? Are you focused? If you're focused on this world, then you're probably going to become like them. You're going to shun them or you're going to get angry with them. But if your focus is on heaven, then you're probably going to pray for them. You're probably going to love them. You're probably going to witness to them. Because you know, it's not about you. It's not about this world. You're a senior adult and you've retired. Where's your focus? If your focus is on this earth, then you're probably going to sit there and say, okay, these years right now about me being comfortable and being at rest. But if your focus is on heaven, then you're going to continue to serve with all your heart. And your battle cry is going to be, I'm not going to hold on to this world. I'm going to hold on to Christ until he takes me to that world. See, where's your focus today? Where does God find you going after? What are you setting your mind on? What are you seeking after? Is it things above? Or is it this earth? Where do your actions show? What is the core of who you really are? He said, Jeremiah, I hear you. And yes, I want that. I want to be unearthed. I don't want to live for this earth. And I can walk out those doors, Jeremiah, and yes, I can say yes to what you said, but what do I do? How do I go through a life and be around all these people that are earthed? How do I walk in this life, in this world, Monday through Saturday, as an unearthed person? I'm not some genius. There's a couple things that God has challenged me with that has helped me, I think, with this whole area of learning to live day by day unearthed. Here's the first one. I would say acknowledge that you are unearthed every day. You know, it's getting up and just saying, I am unearthed. I think it'd be a great shirt or a great bumper sticker or a great sticker. I am unearthed. That's right. That's who you are. Maybe it's something that needs to come up on your computer screen. So you're sitting there at work and man, it just all the busyness of work is starting to combat you. And you're starting to get all this infiltrate from the world. And then your computer screen comes up and says, I am unearthed. It's a practical way. That's right. I got to remember, I don't live for this life. I'm not going to let my identity be wrapped up in this life. Yes, I have to work hard. Yes, I got to do this. But my identity is in the heavens. My identity is with Christ. Maybe it's as a mom, you write it and just put it in the kitchen. And so you're about to go crazy with the kids and doing the housework and all that. And you walk in and you see that I am unearthed. That's right. And it's not about this life. It's about that life. It's about the heavens. And that's where I need to seek after. You're a teenager. You're at school. And everybody tells you should be doing this. You should be acting like this. And you know that's not what the Word of God says. And so you walk to your locker and there on your locker says, I am unearthed. And you go, that's right. I'm unearthed. It's not about this life. I know for me, I just forget that. I know it's not who I am. I know I've been saved. And I know I've been taken. I've been unearthed. But it's just, I live like that. And so it's a constant reminder. Maybe daily, just to get up and say, God, I'm unearthed and I don't want to live like this earth anymore. I don't want to live for the kingdoms of this earth. I want to live for the kingdoms of heaven. I'm not made for this life. This is not my permanent dwelling place. So I don't want to live here. You know, my wife and I, when we were with Life Action, we were married about 6 months and we were traveling with them. And at one point we had to do 25 programs in 30 days. And we'd go from church to church and spend the night at someone's house or send this and then go to the next place. And, you know, married 6 months, it's kind of fun. You know, go to one place and, you know, you're only going to be there at night. So if you didn't like it, you move to the next place and you go to that place and that place and that place. Well, one time we did the program that night and we got in the car with this couple and they were taking us to where we were going to stay. And we went small talking with them, and we got closer to the place, and they pulled into a cemetery. My wife and I are kind of sitting there going, okay. You know, we're in the back seat, and we pull in the cemetery and park right in front of a funeral home. And so she squeezes my hand a little, you know. And we get out, and we start to walk, and they open the door to the funeral home, and we walk right in. And as we walk in, I look to the right there, and there's this casket that's open just sitting there. I didn't look to see if there's anybody in it, but it just kind of, we kept walking right up the stairs. And so we got up the stairs, and they turned and said, here's your room. Thank you. And so, you know, we walked in the room and they showed us some things and they left. And my wife and I looked at each other. Are you kidding? Right below us, we have no idea if we're the only people in this place. I don't know we're the only live people in this place, but I don't know what else is in here. So, you know, I quickly check all the beds and under the beds and the closets and make sure. And as we walked in, I remembered there was one more door upstairs. Well, being a guy, curious, I had to go look. You know, I'm not going to stay. I got to know what's in there. And so I opened that door. And there was just a long hallway with a whole bunch of different doors. I had no idea what was behind those doors. I was not brave enough to go look. I just shut that door, went back in, locked the door, and we slept a little bit that night and got out as quick as possible. Listen, that was not my permanent dwelling place, and I'm so grateful. I don't want to live there. And listen, just as much as the anticipation to leave the next morning to get out of that place is how it should be for us here on this earth. The anticipation that, listen, we don't have to live here all for the rest of our life, for the rest of eternity. Praise God. Praise God. Some days make a new heavens and a new earth. Things restore all things. And that's where I get to live. Praise God, I don't have to live here. I'm just sojourner. I'm just passing through. Acknowledge that you are unearthed. And then the second thing there would be get into the word. This book right here shows us about the things that are above. So if you want to know about the things that are above and you want to live for the things that are above, then you got to be in the book that shows you what it's all about. So if you want to live as an unearthed person, then get into the word. And then number three, be around other unearthed people. Be around other unearthed people. That's why you come to church. That's why you get involved in a small group. Because you want to be around someone else who's unearthed. Someone else who's like, you know, this isn't about this life. You're like, that's right, it isn't. I got to remember that. It's about eternity. So be around other unearthed people. Where's your focus today? Is it on earth or is it on heaven? You wrapped up here seeking things on this earth? Are you wrapped up seeking things in heaven? An unearthed person is orbiting around Christ. So focus. Let me quickly give you the next two. I promise you they won't be as long as the first one. The unearthed life is hidden with Christ, so rest. The unearthed life is hidden with Christ, so rest. This is one reason why I'm so glad that I'm a believer today. I love this verse right here. I love it. Look at it with me. Verse 3, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. You know what that shows me? That shows me secrecy. I'm hidden with Christ. I can't be found unless God allows it. It shows me safety. There's a double protection here. Did you get that? Your life is hidden with Christ in God. That is an incredible thought to think about. I am hidden with Christ in God. And then if we're going to add other verses from the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So as an unearthed person, I am hidden with Christ and I'm in God and I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Listen, that is safety. Nothing can happen to you unless it goes through the Trinity. That's awesome. That's complete safety. My kids love to play hide and go seek. My youngest child, Selah, she's 2. If we play hide and go seek, she wants to hide with Daddy. And listen, she'll hide anywhere. She'll hide in the darkest corner as long as Daddy is right next to her. But listen, if you tell her to go hide by herself, I don't even know if she'll go hide in her bed. Okay, why? Because she feels safe with Daddy. And listen, that's the same thing. You are hidden with Christ in God. So listen, rest. Be at peace. Understand what the unearthed life is about. It also shows completion. In the perfect tense, complete from a past action. Listen, you will never lose your hide-and-go-seek partner. Never. You'll never lose it. You are hidden with Christ in God. So listen, church, rest. Rest. Are you anxious about the present problems that are happening in your life? Rest. You're hidden with Christ in God. Are you worried about the future and all that's going to come? Rest. You are hidden with Christ in God. Are you scared that Christ may abandon you, that he may have forgotten you? Listen, rest. You are hidden with Christ in God. I understand that we are living in some shaky times in America. And yes, it should cause us to pray and it should cause us to be prepared. But listen, Christians, we don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious. Just rest in Christ. You are hidden Christ in God. Listen, as you walk out those doors today, you can either walk out in anxiety or you can walk out in rest. Which one will it be? Some of you, you've never been saved. So you need for the first time to become unearthed. And you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. But some of you, you are unearthed. But you're so focused on this earth that you've forgotten that you are hidden with Christ in God. Rest. I read this quote by Corrie ten Boom. She said this, "Look around you and be distressed. Look inside and be depressed. Look at Jesus and be at rest." You know, look around you and be distressed. Listen, you start looking at what's happening in our world, it's easy to get distressed. You look inside and try to figure it out all by yourself, and you try to muster the energy to do it, you're going to get depressed. But look at Jesus, and you'll be at rest. Are you looking at Jesus today? Are you looking at him? Look at Jesus and be at rest. Focus, rest, and then the third one here. The unearthed life is promised glorification alongside of Christ. So be ready. Look at verse 4 here. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." When Christ, okay, this is a promise, it's going to happen. Who is your life? I love that little four words there. Who is your life? Listen, if those four words make you excited, then you're probably living for the things above. If you think about those four words and say, "Man, he's my life. Wow, man, I don't know if he is, I don't know." Then you're probably living for things of this earth. When Christ, who is your life, appears, it's going to happen. When Christ appears, it's going to happen. Then you also will appear with him in glory. We are promised glorification someday. Someday I'm going to stand. Someday I'm going to appear with Christ in glory. And I'm going to be out of this flesh here. And I'm going to have a glorified body. He's not done with me. He's still working on me right now. I read that over in Germany, they're selling castles for 1 German mark, which is about 50 cents in America. Now put your phones down. Don't start searching. Let me give you the catch. The New York Times article says the castles are in great need of repair, and the buyer must restore the castle back to the original historical condition, which estimations of these renovations will cost you between $7 million to $60 million. You know, that illustration though made me think of God and what God did for us. No, the price he paid for us was not cheap. It was the death of his son. But listen, it didn't end there. He bought me. However, though, he is continually to change the person, this horrible state that I was. He is continually to sanctify me, renew me, and one day I'm going to be glorified. And it's a promise. So be ready. Be ready. I will stand with him in glory. It is a promise, so be ready for him. Be excited that he's coming back. My kids, I love coming home. And my kids, my 2 girls, they come running and jump up in my arms and say, "Daddy!" And I love it. I love opening the door and having them run and just go, "Daddy!" I hope when they're 18, they still run and go, "Daddy!" But listen, they are anticipating Daddy's return. And they're excited when Daddy comes. Why could the Apostle Paul say in Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain"? Because he was anticipating God's return. And he said, listen, if Christ comes back today or if I go see him, it's going to be incredible. And listen, if you're so wrapped up in this world, then you're not going to be ready for his return. Then you're like, "Man, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do this." No, we're looking out the window going, "When is my Daddy coming home? When is he coming? Because I don't belong here anymore. I'm an unearthed person. I don't belong here. I'm not tied to this earth. I'm tied to the kingdom of heaven. And that's where I want to live." And I hope and I pray that God will find you there. Focused on him. Resting in him. And being ready for his return. So what do you do with this message today? Well, first, let me ask you, are you earthed or are you unearthed? If you're earthed, then today can be the day of your salvation. There'll be some people up here at the end who would love to talk with you. You can come and talk to me, Trent. You can talk to one of the pastors. We would love to talk with you and show you how you can be unearthed today. But for you who are unearthed, what are you focusing on? What are you living for? Set your mind on things above. Seek things that are above, because that's where Christ is at. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to pray here in a second. We're going to sing, we're going to stand and be done. But will you go to God before you rush out those doors? Will you go to God and say, God, am I living for things above or am I living for things of this earth? What am I wrapped up in? What is my life all about? By the demonstration of my actions, by how I live, what am I living for? And maybe you need to repent today and just acknowledge and say, God, I've been living for this earth. I've been living for the kingdoms of this earth. Even though I don't belong to these kingdoms anymore, I'm living for them. And God, I want to get my eyes on the kingdoms of heaven. God, that's why I want to start living. I want to live for that. Because I want to be ready for your return. I want to be excited about your return and yours alone. Father, I come before you. God, I thank you for the church. God, I thank you for these people that are here. And God, we all at times get our eyes on things of this world. But God, I pray that we remember who we are in you. God, I pray you'd help us remember that we don't belong here. That's why we should feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because we belong in heaven. And someday we'll be there. But God, until it happens, God, I pray you'd find us as a church, find us as people that are seeking you, that are setting our mind on you. And God, I know there are probably people here who have never done that, God, and they're lost. I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. God, I pray that their chains would be broken off today, and they'd be uprooted today, and today, if they would surrender their life to you. God, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for your grace. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for not giving up on us. God, thank you for the incredible gift of salvation that you gave to us. That allows us to long and to realize that someday we will be in a better place with you. For your glory, God, for your praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to an audio sermon brought to you by Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website, harvestgranger.org.